Well, good evening, everybody. It's another edition of the Laker Hockey Show live from the Antlers on East Portage Avenue. Nice crowd on hand with us at the Antlers again tonight. And great day in Sault Ste. Marie today. Got up to 36 degrees, sunshine. We got some melting. I think that's the first thaw that we've had since winter set in here back in November. And we can see the light at the end of the tunnel. We just hope it's not a train at this point. But Damon Witten's with us. And Damon, you're coming off a couple of really big wins against Bemidji. A week ago, we sat in here and talked about, hey, Bemidji can play. They're well coached. They can fly around. They did all that. And still, the Lakers did a great job defensively. Got great goaltending out of Nick Kossoff. We got two players of the week again. We got Kossoff as the goaltender of the week and Colin Sackleman as defenseman of the week. And you know, again, the Lakers managed to play really well when they had to. Great crowds. I was really impressed with the crowds this weekend. I think they were bigger than what was announced, but that doesn't matter. They were good, and they supported the Lakers, and it was two big wins.
Yeah, you hit a lot there, but I think starting with the crowds is a great place to start. It was, I thought, an unbelievable atmosphere in there. I think over both nights we had over 400 students, which is probably our biggest student turnout of the year. So, and we needed it. You know, I think the guys fed off the energy of the building, of our entire crowd, and like you said, it certainly seemed a little bit bigger than announced, but I thought there was a lot of energy, and the most energy I've heard in a while, or maybe in my time here. So, I know we wanted home playoffs for a long time. It's been too long. We want to make sure that we make this an annual event. And, you know, our fans responded, and we're really appreciative for them coming out in droves and being loud and, you know, having us into the game and giving us that edge, which we needed because it was a hard-fought series, as you said. I thought it was kind of amazing both nights when the game ended and you look at your watch. It was, you know, maybe just under 2 hours, right around 2 hours. I thought the flow of the game was tremendous. The speed of the game was tremendous. I you know, and I thought the officiating was strong overall, and I kind of talked to those guys after and said, you know, in some ways they had an easy game to call because I thought both teams did a pretty good job of playing the right way. There wasn't a lot of you know, extracurricular junk after the whistles. We played hard through the whistles. I thought sticks a little bit at times for both teams were a little bit, you know, too much, taking away the offensive advantage from the team with some slashing and sticks to the hands, things like that. But I thought for most part both teams understood the importance of the situation, played a real clean game, a real fast game, still a hard game and a competitive game, but I thought two really entertaining games there, and you know, obviously really big to get those wins and to keep this season alive and to move on in the playoffs, which is obviously the goal at this point of the year.
Yeah, we move on now to Minnesota State. We'll talk about the Mavericks here in just a moment. They swept out Alabama Huntsville on the weekend, two straight wins at home. In fact, all the favorites won, and they all won in two games. There was a while there on Friday night when I thought maybe we were going to have the upset we were looking for because Michigan Tech had a 2-0 lead into the third at Bowling Green. And Alaska, they gave Northern Michigan all they wanted. What we talked about last week, that big ice, didn't bother Alaska. We watched a lot of the overtime on Friday night. I thought Alaska should have won the game about five times, but it didn't happen, and now the favorites are there, and Bowling Green's going to Northern, and Lake Superior is going to Minnesota State.
Yeah, I think this time of year, you know, it doesn't matter where you're going or who you're playing. You know, it's so hard. It's so difficult to win games. We saw that with Bemidji in our building last weekend, and as you said, you know, watching those games, the later starts and things like that, you got to tune in quite a bit. Tolvanen was unbelievable in that game, and two or three just huge saves late to keep, you know, that a tied score and allow Northern to get that game winner. So, you know, it's going to be, again, we'll get more into Mankato, but it's going to be a tough, tough series, and I think that Northern Michigan Bowling Green series is going to be really interesting to watch. You know, you hit it really accurately last week saying Fairbanks playing on the big sheet, it wouldn't be as big of an adjustment, and it turned out to be a great series. Now Bowling Green has to go onto that big sheet, and Northern Michigan is playing such good hockey right now, so that will be interesting to watch. And you know, but we have our hands full. You know, one of the best teams in the country, Mankato's ranked number two right now. You know, Mike Casey's done an unbelievable job with that program at Minnesota State, and they've got a lot of weapons and similar teams in some ways, but you know, we'll get more on that. Let's you know, finish up that Bemidji series. You want to talk about some of the individuals more, or what do you want to hit, Bill?
Yeah, I think we'll stick with Bemidji for a few minutes here. It was a great series, and you're right, it was entertaining, it was fast. An hour and 57 minutes we figured on Friday night, and just over 2 hours on Saturday, and man, that's just entertaining. It was up and down. Third period on Saturday night, I got a little bit worried a few times because we lost a lot of draws. We gave up possession. They had the puck in our zone, especially at the end. But Nick was really good both games, and I thought our defense was outstanding. They blocked shots, and I'm talking the defensive game, the forwards, sure. Everybody got involved and really did a good job.
I think, you know, one thing, and a couple of people have brought this up and asked about, you know, we weren't ourselves in terms of making some adjustments that got us away from who we normally are. You know, we like to really be an aggressive forecheck team, and because of the way Bemidji State underhandles pucks with their decor, we went away from our aggressive forecheck. So we were much more above pucks with a 1-2-2 forecheck, and, you know, we just knew we couldn't go in there and chase and play the way we wanted to play, the way they bypass you and underhandle pucks. So we didn't look quite the same way, and as a coach you're nervous because we talked all week about, hey, we want to be who we are, but at the same time, you know, hopefully you're making the proper adjustments to give yourselves a good chance to win. And then even in the neutral zone, by the second period Saturday night, we had gone to a 1-2-2 neutral zone for some similar reasons. So you know, we were a lot different than we like to be, and I again really want to give our team credit. We talk a lot with our team about retaining you know, adjustments we make, video we present. It's really important to retain that information and then be able to go put it into place on the ice in that split second decision. So I thought our guys did a really, really good job with the adjustments we tried to make and the video we presented and the things we want to do in our pre-scout to give us a chance to be more successful. And so that's part of the reason why I thought defensively we were pretty good. You know, we didn't get on the wrong side of pucks. We didn't give up a lot of odd man rushes, a couple breakaways on Friday on our power play. So those were shorthanded. But for the most part, I thought we limited their rush play by being above pucks and doing a good job that way. And then I thought in our D zone coverage, you know, partly the way they play, I won't say it's easy to defend them because it's never easy to defend them, but they want to move pucks quickly once again. They want to switch sides of the ice. They want to go low to high. So it leads to a lot of man on man coverage, but they don't have a lot of possession because they're moving it and trying to break some coverage there. So it's important to box out and be good in front of your net. So I thought we defended pretty well as a decor, as a team. I thought tracking habits a couple times, we gave up some chances because we didn't track well inside of our dots and protect the front of our net. But overall, it was a real good attention to detail as a group and some really good individual performance. You know, we talked a lot about the power play last week, the struggles we've had as of late, and again, retention by our players, the talent displayed by our players to change personnel, to change setups, and then to go out and execute. Really, all three goals were power play goals on Friday. Diego scored just a couple seconds after, I think, Dickman's penalty expired. So essentially a power play goal, and then same thing, special teams on Saturday night to win the power play battle, to do a good job on the penalty kill. That was really the difference on the weekend. So I'd like to have done a little bit more 5-on-5, but you don't have a lot of time against them because you can't get in on them. They do a really good job making it difficult to turn pucks over on the forecheck and have offensive zone possession time.
Yeah, and you know, one of the fans asked tonight too, that's one of our questions, what prompted the 1-2-2? So you just explained that, what prompted it is, last time we played Bemidji, they had a number of breakaways, they got in behind our D, so we were a little more passive there, but whatever, it worked really well. I thought we blocked a lot of shots, and Nick Kossoff played two really good games, and he was goaltender of the week in the WCHA. That's the second time this season he's won that honor.
Yeah, kind of hard to believe it's only the second time. I think he's been so consistent this year. You know, when you look at his record, when you look at his numbers, Nick has been just rock solid. You know, you need your seniors to be your best player, and that position you need to be great as well. So we're getting that from Nick, and it was a really strong weekend, as you said. Thought he looked really confident, you know, challenged pucks and got outplayed aggressive as much as Nick does, because he's a very controlled guy. He's such an intelligent human being. He's got that 3.9 or even 4.0 GPA. He's a very cerebral player and goaltender, and you know, he's got a great process to his game there. So he was on top of it, reading pucks well, and was very sharp, and that was a big you know, part. I thought Driscoll played really well. Some of the chances we generated, especially on Saturday night, I mean, Driscoll made three or four backdoor plays that you kind of look at the guys around you, how did he save that? So it was a great goaltending battle, and Nick certainly won it, and that's big this time of year.
Yeah, we knew they were going to be tough Saturday night. When you got your backs to the wall, you know, there's a lot of pride there. And I think Bemidji's well coached, and they stick to playing the game, and they played hard. They were they can fly. They got some quick players. They're not real big, but they can give you trouble in that offensive zone, and they did. Diego had a great weekend again, too. A goal and two assists, 3 points on the weekend. He was one of the runners-up for forward of the week in the league. And I thought he was really good. He did a great job of showing the way. Here's what we got to do.
Yeah, and even we went down Friday night, 1-0. They scored first, and we had a bad change, and then they had a counterattack and scored a rush goal off a poor line change there. And Diego's right there on the bench, and after we kind of lulled a little bit there, and lacked a little bit of energy there, and he was just calmly telling the guys to stay with it, to believe in who we are and believe in what we do, and then he responded. He went out and was a difference maker to get us that energy and to get us that life, and scoring that first goal of the game to tie it up again just shortly after the power play expired. He made a great pass to Hampus Eriksson. Hampus had a great scoring chance, and then Diego grabbed the rebound and kind of stuffed it in there. And that's what you need your seniors, your best players to do. Those critical moments, they have to show up. And he did it not only there, but throughout the weekend. So it was good to get him playing back on top of his game.
Yeah, and he is in the lead now, National League goal scoring lead, 24. That's one more than Troy Loggins at Northern Michigan, who's on a tear here late in the season, and Johnny Walker of Arizona State, who's done right now. He can't play till the NCAA tournament, and anything you score in the NCAA tournament doesn't count toward that. So Diego's on top in goal scoring in the nation, and that's really good.
Yeah, that's remarkable. I just, again, a lot of credit. He's a guy we talked a lot about. He's a guy we tried to bring in right away in year one, and he had committed to going back to Merritt and wearing a letter for his junior coach there. And, I think it speaks a lot about Diego's character that he wanted to honor that commitment and finish out his junior career. And then we were certainly glad when he committed to become a Laker, even though it would be a year later. And, again, just believing in the vision we sold for him of what he could be at this level and what our program can be, and looking at our past history and tradition there. So it's awesome to see a kid like that rewarded for sticking with the process and, believing in himself, believing in the team, and it's certainly not an individual recognition. He's having a tremendous year, but he plays with great players. He's got great support around him, from the D getting pucks to him, his line mates. So and he'll be the first to tell you that he's really proud of his team, and he's happy to lead them in goals this year. But it's been a real team effort around him.
Really good too to see Nellis and Humitz, Anthony Nellis and Max Humitz, score goals on Friday night, and then Max scored another one on Saturday, because they'd kind of not been scoring in recent games, and that broke out of it, and we're going to need them at Minnesota State.
Yeah, and Lucas Keibel scored that power play goal to go up 2-1. It was a different unit, a different look. We haven't run that look in quite a long time, but with the way they pressure, we wanted to try to back them off a little bit and create some space and time. So Lucas just had a smart wrister down to the net that Driscoll couldn't find. And then Anthony Nellis scored a great backdoor goal on the same power play group with the same look. The guys did a good job keeping it alive. And then Ashton Calder made a great pass across the seam all the way to Nellis, and didn't get everything he wanted on it, but he was able to get enough on it to get in the back of the net to provide that breathing room early on. And then they responded right away. And then Max Humitz to finish it out with an empty net goal. So your big dogs have to be your big dogs this time of year, and they certainly were.
I thought a great job after the game on Saturday night too by the players going over to thank the student section. A lot of the players went over there, and even you got out there and waved over at them, and I thought that was good, because I've heard from a number of fans up in the boxes this weekend too that Dave Pateson made the rounds and came in and thanked everybody for being there. I think that's small stuff, but it's important. It's important to thank people for being part of something.
Oh, it's huge. It's huge. I mean, I'm not sure we win those games without our fans this weekend and all of our fans, but the student section, they certainly bring, a different energy level and craziness and all that. So it's great to see. I don't know if you knew, Bill, or not, but for playoff tickets, student government, covered that. So, a huge thanks to student government and the Laker student government for providing that. But they started lining up about 5 or 5:30, and there was a line from essentially the ticket office all the way down past the weight room and the outdoor rec area all the way down the Norris Center lobby. So probably by 5:30, 6 o'clock, we had 250 students already in the building, and it was awesome. And I think our guys knew at that point that there was going to be a good crowd here, energy in this building, and it just got us going. It was a big part of the weekend.
Yeah, it certainly was. And I came in at 5 o'clock both nights, and they were lined up, as you say, all the way down that hallway to get in. So
we'd like to do that more. We'll see if we can kind of keep that. I know some schools do that, and it'd be nice if we can find a way in the future, maybe not quite that early for the regular season, but find a way to engage them a little bit more, to keep them there early and just bring that energy every night. So they've done a great job, and it's nice the way that's been built up.
It's interesting too, you get these smaller schools, and they do have cheerleaders at Bemidji. They brought their cheerleaders over. They drove all the way over in a van that day. I saw them going in on Friday night, and they had just gotten to Sault Ste. Marie just before the game, We're going to see that again at Minnesota State. They have cheerleaders who go on the ice between periods, et cetera, and before the game. And that's something we don't have, but we're going to take Seymour with us out to Minnesota.
Yeah, we'll have Seymour, so a little representation down there. And, you know, watching some of the Bowling Green Tech game, you know, Tech takes that you know, large band that they have and loud band down there. So it's interesting. You know, I'm not sure if I agree with that at another person's building, if that's the right way to go, but that's the way our league is right now. I'm sure we'll talk about more about that, but you know, it was fine to have them. It's a little bit strange. I think that they're on our ice. It's great. They're in our building doing their thing, but I just find that weird. I think it just can lead to, you know, some tough situations there, but you know, I thought an exciting weekend of hockey across the WCHA. And I think this weekend is going to be even you know, more spectacular hockey.
Okay, we're going to talk about this weekend coming up when we return. We're going to take our first break of the night. We'll be right back to the Antlers. More Laker Hockey Show on ESPN 1400. Okay, we are back for our second segment at the Antlers on a Tuesday night. The sun's still shining in Sault Ste. Marie. We certainly enjoyed the weather today. I think it's supposed to rain for the next couple of days, and that'll be interesting for a drive across to Minnesota State Mankato on Thursday, but that's how Pat O'Neill and I will be getting there. We have that as a question tonight from the fans. How are you getting to Mankato? Well, we flew last time, but we're going to drive this time. Talking about players of the week, we did say Colin Sackelman was the defenseman of the week. He had his 10th goal of the season. He went 1-2-3 on the weekend. He's had a heck of a year. He's got 10 goals, 15 assists, 25 points. He is fourth on the Lakers in scoring, and he's going to be in here the last 15 minutes tonight. We'll be talking to him about the one thing I really want to ask Colin is, what did you think when Diego won that draw and you shot the puck down the ice into the empty net? Did you think if that misses the net, I'm going to be sitting on the
planted bench? On the bench? Yeah, no, you know, it's funny because I can't remember who saw it. One of the coaches saw it. I think it was Coach York saw it, and Zach and I were talking up front. Coach Isaac and I talking up front about, you know, who we getting out, and this extra attacker, they had their goalie pulled, obviously. And so we're trying to get the next set of guys ready and making sure we're trying to get the right personnel for a real good defensive structure. And we hear the play start going nuts as it's getting closer and closer. And we're like, what in the heck just happened? How did that go? And, you know, that was not the play that we had called to run, but sometimes you got to be a hockey player and make plays and make decisions. So it was great to, you know, for Colin to do that and ice the game. And one thing I want to say, you know, the season Colin's happened to me the most remarkable piece of Colin's season, you talked about the 10 goals, which there's some really, really good defensemen across the NCAA this year, and I think he's probably top five somewhere in there in terms of goals scored. Points maybe a little bit lower. There's some guys having some spectacular years. A couple of the Hobie Baker candidates will be defensemen, I'm sure. But he's also second or third in the country, I believe, in block shots. I mean, you have a guy that can do everything on the back end. He can defend. He can sacrifice the pucks. He's a power play guy. You know, as you mentioned, he's got a lot of points, 10 goals. He's such a complete hockey player. He's a complete warrior. The way he plays, his personality. You know, I'm not sure. You tell me you got to win one hockey game or you got to go walk into a dark alley. Who do you want next to you? Colin Sockerman's one of the first guys that come to my mind. He's a tremendous teammate, a tremendous hockey player, and it's the year he's having is really well deserved for him, and just a great kid. Couldn't be happier for him.
Yeah, he had 6 block shots on Friday night, 3 on Saturday. He's now tied for the WCHA lead with Edwin Hookinson from Minnesota State, so they'll battle each other for that this weekend. 92 they both have, and they are tied for third in the country at that particular statistic of blocking shots. So, you know, what a season. The guy's got 10 goals and 92 blocked shots. So you're right, he's a complete hockey player. Nick Kossoff's goaltender of the week, we said that. 68 saves in the two games, .958 the save percentage. 17 saves he had in the third period Saturday night. We got outshot 17-6 in that period and hung on to win that game 3-1, and that's his second award of the season. Forward of the week was Max Johnson, the sophomore from Bowling Green. He had, what do you have, 7 points on the weekend? No, 6. He had a goal and an assist Friday, and then 2 more goals and 2 assists on Saturday. He had 6 points on the weekend. Diego was the runner-up there with his goal, 2 assists and 3 points on the weekend. And the rookie of the week was Griffin Lochran from Northern Michigan, the little guy who is easily moved, but he had a goal, 2 assists, 3 points. Jacob Nordquist was runner-up with two assists, and I thought Jacob was really good. There's another guy who has been outstanding this year but was really good this past weekend.
Yeah, he's kind of back playing too. You know, it's hard for freshmen, especially a European guy who has not spent a lot of time in the States, his second year in the States, and so there's a lot of adjustment going back to school. I mean, can only imagine, you know, going to university in your second language and trying to learn and stay up, and I think he had a 4.0 first semester, if not mistaken. Yeah, so just unbelievable on and off the ice. I had no idea that Jacob would be able to have that kind of semester academically, and not that I question his intelligence or anything like that, but to do that in a foreign language and, you know, playing the minutes he plays and all the things that goes through a freshman athlete. So he's been tremendous, and you know, had an unbelievable start, cooled off. They're not really cooled off, but the points didn't come as easily for a while,
right?
But he's back to playing at a really high level, and again, we're really going to need him playing at that level this weekend against this opponent.
Okay, we're going to Mankato. We're going to play Minnesota State, one of the top teams in the country. They are ranked number 4 in the poll this week. The Lakers are ranked number 20. The Lakers are 23-11-2, best season we've had in a long, long time.
Thank you.
By comparison, Minnesota State is 29-7-2. They've lost two games in the second half of the season. 1-0 at home against Lake Superior State, the only team to beat them all year there. And 1-0 up in Alaska, the last game of the regular season, after they had won 6-1. And they played a few players that probably, they let a few guys rest, let's put it that way, and they lost 1-0. But right now, they are 18-1 at home on the season. They have the best winning percentage in the country on home ice. Lake Superior is the best winning percentage on the road in the country. 14-4 record. That's fantastic. And we're going to put the best road team up against the best home team again this weekend. And the real good thing for Lake Superior is we have beaten them in there. We know we can do it.
Well, I hear you say that, and I think about our missed opportunities at home. I don't know, as a coach, maybe that's what your mind reverts to. You know, if we could have figured out our Saturday nights, we probably wouldn't be traveling to Minnesota State and maybe sleeping a little bit better at night. But, you know, they're such a complete team. I mean, obviously, the WCHA regular season playoff has gone through Minnesota State the last, you know, 5-6 years. They're loaded. They're deep everywhere. They've got talent and skill through their top four lines. They've got a D-core that not only has a good skill set, a strong skill set, especially among their top guys, but they do it at 6'2", 6'3", a little bit like that. We can match them a little bit with their size on the back end. Great skating ability. You know, when you can finally get through some of those challenges, you've got Dryden McKay sitting back there having an unbelievable freshman campaign. So there's no weakness there. Their special teams are strong. Their talent's really good. You know, Mike Hastings might be the best coach in the country. It's a tall task, and like you said, we beat them a couple weeks back down there. You know, that's a little bit helpful. You know, at least we know we can do it. Obviously, we're gonna have to play at a high level and execute extremely well and be sharp in all facets of the game. I thought our Saturday night game at home against them was one of our best games of the year. We played really well, and thought Dryden McKay was you know, a big impact in the game that night as well. So it's a tall task, but you're playing this time of year to win hockey games, and that's our focus. We have to go in Friday night, find a way to win a game. Doesn't have to be pretty. You just have to find a way to have that scoreboard show Lakers won at the end of the night. So not an easy task, but a task we're really cherishing and looking forward to.
Now, if I remember right, when we played them in January and we did win a game, we got beat the first night, I think 5-3, was it? Or 5-3, I believe. And then we won 1-0 the second game on their ice. The only time they've lost on home ice all season. But we did things a little bit differently than we did this past weekend against Bemidji. So now you as coaches, you got to sit down, look at the film, do this, do that, and figure out, okay, what do we want to do for a forecheck? What do we want to do in our own zone? How do we want to set up our power play against these guys? And that's all part of the game here this week.
It is. You know, so you go through a lot. I think one of the challenging things is when you look at their past weekend, you know, they're – being as good as they are, there's not a ton of great things to take from their film in that last series, because they were pretty dominant, you know, and so you got to dig back a little bit, look at some other weekends where the matchup was better. You can pull some more special teams where they had to kill a little bit more power play clips. So it's a little bit challenging that way. They had a couple guys injured that it sounds like they're getting back as well. So their personnel will be a little bit different. But again, ultimately, this is, again, one of the – I thought they were ranked 2. You mentioned 4. I thought they were 2 in this week's polls. Maybe I'm wrong on that.
Maybe they are up.
I thought they were up to 2. I don't know if anybody knows in the crowd. But regardless, they're one of the best teams in the country. And, you know, you're going to need some bounces, some breaks and play flawless hockey. And that's a really challenging thing to do. But we love this group, and we're not ready to be done yet. So, again, our goal is to go in and find a way to shock certainly Minnesota State and a lot of college hockey by winning a game Friday night.
Well, you know, you look at this tail of the tape on them, and it's almost frightening to look at. I mean, the Lakers are solid. There's no, I mean, you're number 22 in this, 33 in that, number 7 in the nation in goals scored. They're number 5 in the nation in goals scored, but they're number 1 in goals against, and they're number 3 in penalty kill, and they're number 11 in the power play. So, you know, they're just, like you said, loaded. They're a complete team. They're loaded. You got to play really well to beat them. And they spread out their scoring. Their leading scorer, Mark Michaelis, is a really good hockey player. He's got 19 goals, 39 assists, or 39 points. Parker Toomey's got 37 points. A couple of German nationals right there leading the way for them. And Diego is still, you know, he's a point ahead of them. And Nellis and Humitz are right there as well. So I think it's pretty even, and it's going to come down to, hey,
who's breaks. Ready to play playoff hockey,
right?
You know,
it's
exciting.
Officiating.
Yeah, well, that's always part of it, right? But, I really hope it's like this past weekend where, you know, the refs let the players decide, the players understand the magnitude of it and play clean and fast. I thought that was one of the things when you go back and watch our series with them. I thought certainly Saturday night in Mankato, our defensemen were really, really good at getting exiting our zone, starting with really driving their feet. You know, we've got good size in the back end, but we don't give up skating with it. So it's going to be really imperative that we're playing with a ton of speed to match them. A little bit like Bemidji, you know, you have to be on the right side of pucks because they're so good on the in transition and on their rush offense with their deactivating. Yeah. So you can't give up odd man rushes or getting a foot race and trade chances back and forth because of their depth. But it's a big tall task, but again, we're really looking forward to it. It's going to be an unbelievable weekend of hockey, and our guys are excited. We've worked hard to put ourselves in this position, and we're going to put everything in it to keep moving forward.
Yeah, and it's not like we haven't done this before. I think since we've come into the WCHA, this will be the third time we played in the playoffs at Minnesota State. The only other series we had was at Michigan Tech. And we did get that big win when Gordy Dayfield literally stood on his head a few years ago in Game 2 to force Game 3 there. But
I think that was the first time we'd ever beat him in history because we didn't play him back when we were rolling. And but Gordy had to be, outstanding, 51 saves or something like that. So, it's going to be awesome. It's going to be great hockey. I mean, nice here, like you said, in Sault Ste. Marie. It feels like playoff hockey finally with some sun and some warm temperatures. Last weekend, as much as it felt like it around the rink, when you went outside, it didn't feel like playoff hockey. So it's going to have that feel in there. I think they were on break last week, so I think their students are back, and it will be a great environment down there. So keep an eye on our Facebook pages and our social media. I think there are plans to stream it locally, so there'll be some an opportunity at one or two different establishments to be able to watch that game locally as well. And I think it's going to be an unbelievable series of hockey.
All righty, we'll be there. Pat and I will be heading out on Thursday, and we'll be there for all three games if necessary. We're hoping we win two straight and come back on Sunday, but we'll see what happens, and we'll be back with more Laker Hockey Show right after this from the Antlers on ESPN 1400. Okay, we are back for our third segment of the Laker Hockey Show here on a Tuesday evening, live from the Antlers on East Portage Avenue. We want to thank all the folks at the Antlers for playing host to us again this season. It's a great place to do this show, and we appreciate that. And we've got some questions from the fans that haven't been answered yet. We've got a couple for Colin Sackelman, who's going to join us here in a few minutes on the show, but got a couple for Damon, too. Always we get asked, Damon, about injuries and I thought Will Riedel, for coming off injury over the weekend, I thought he was really good. He did a great job. He's been good all year.
Yeah, he is. And he was a guy that stood out watching the series at Mankato. I mean, Will's skating ability and size, really a lot of our decor in it. Colin might talk about it a little bit, but when the season finished up last year, obviously on a sour note, though, we gathered up our defensemen and really challenged those guys and, let them know that we thought we could have one of the best decors in the country with what we had coming back and the makeup of that group. And now I think you're seeing that. I'm not sure where we're at nationally now in scoring. We've been inside the top 10, top 5 for a while. We're one of the, we're a good defensive team as well. So, I think that's kind of lived out. And, you can ask Colin what his plans are for next year, but hopefully he'll be back as a senior along with his other guys. Obviously, we lose Steven, but have the ability to return the rest of our decor. So as good as we were this year, I think we can take another step with Colin as a senior and, you know, one of our leaders wearing a letter and the other guys getting more and more experience. So, you know, that's an area that's been really strong for us and will need to be.
Yeah, we've talked a lot on recent shows and also on Laker Hockey Talk, which is on Thursday mornings here on ESPN 1400, but a lot about recruiting, who's coming in next year. Fans always want to know this stuff. They know now who the five guys are who are going to be leaving, and there's a possibility that maybe one or two others may even leave, but that depends on professional hockey, not on Lake Superior State. But we do have a lot of interesting people coming in next year, and we're known right now as the most international lineup in college hockey, and we're going to make it more so in the future because we're going to bring in another Swede next year, another Latvian. We're bringing in a young man out of France who's literally from the country of France. So we're going to become even more international. Let's talk just for a few minutes about that. That's another question we've got from the fans here tonight.
And you got Nico Esposito-Salvanov, too, who's Russian-Canadian. Yeah. So he'll add a little element, too, there. And Colin probably knows him a little bit from Shattuck and their times there, along with Robert Bluger. So that'd be another good question, the Shattuck pipeline that's gone through here and been through. But, you know, and I almost feel like a politician when this comes up because you don't know. It's such a moving target, you know. We've had guys with tremendous years, and I'll be more surprised than not if some of our underclassmen don't have opportunities to leave and sign. So, you know, we'll have to see where that goes, and that obviously changes, you know, your scholarship situation, what you have available to use or not use, opportunities, things like that. So there's a lot to be still settled that way. But as you said, you know, we've got some 20-year-olds that have been, some of them maybe not as long as others, but some guys we've had committed for a couple of years now, and we like this class. We're looking forward to it. Again, I think we're at a place now where we don't need them to step in and be even, you know, with Colin sitting here, when he came in, he was pretty much a top two, top four defenseman from day one. And, you know, he wouldn't change it because guys love that and they want to have that opportunity. But in terms of development and bringing guys along slowly, you'd rather have that opportunity to do that. So I think we'll be able to spot some of these guys in different situations. You know, just watch Nico's team, Cowichan Valley, upset Penticton in the first round of the BCHL playoffs. I think it was the third ever biggest upset in BCHL history in terms of regular season points. Nico led Cowichan in scoring in the first round. I think, I don't know, 7 points in four or five games, something like that. So he's off to a really good start in the playoffs. Dustin Manns is sitting there through the first round. Dustin was an assistant captain as an American kid up there that had Prince George's best ever historical finish in their franchise history, which is a long story program as well. So, no, we like this class. We think the character is outstanding. We continue to you know, bring in really quality student athletes that understand things on and off the ice, and that's really important to what we're trying to do. Obviously, they need to come in and perform on the ice. That's a big part of what we do, you know, whether that's fair or unfair, you know, we have to win hockey games and put good hockey players on the ice, and we think we're doing that in a lot of ways as well.
Yeah, we talked last week about Arvid Henriksson. He's the latest to sign a national letter of intent. He's the Swedish player who's, I think he's in the North American League right now, but he's a defenseman. He'll be coming in next year. And we have a couple of other defensemen who may or may not come in. It depends on what happens with the defenseman we have now. We've got Mitch Oliver. We've talked positively about Mitch. He looks really good in practices, works hard. He should fit right in. And then we've got a number of forwards. You mentioned Dustin Manns and Roberts Bluger, Nico Esposito-Salivanov. They're all forwards. Louis Bedon is the young man out of France who's going to come in here. And we've got a goaltender right now who's committed. We can't use his name because he has not yet signed the NLI. But we've got a goalie to come in to be behind Merricks and Benger.
So. Yeah, and I'll have to double check that. I think we might actually have it, but I want to double check before we confirm that. Yeah. But that's certainly out
Let's
there.
Let's not use that.
And a lot of the social media and listings that require that. Just so people looking at Arvid has what we call a bad birthday. Gordy, this hurt Gordy Dayfield back when we recruited Gordy, but Gordy had turned 21. He led his Coquitlam team to the Western Canada Cup, I believe the Royal Bank Cup as well. So he turned 21 as he was still playing junior hockey. If you play games after you turn 21 and you're not a full-time student, you lose a year of eligibility. So that's why we only had Gordy Dayfield for 3 years. Arvid has turned 21, and he was not able to fully enroll yet because he just came to the States this year, so he's still working on some test scores, TOEFL, things like that. So he is now back home, and we'll start training and taking care of the NCAA clearinghouse side of things. We don't anticipate any issues there, but that's why Arvid, you don't see him playing anymore because of a bad birthday situation there.
All righty. We've got one other question here from the fans tonight. That is there anything you can or should change up when you play against Minnesota State that you did maybe against Bemidji or anybody else lately?
Yeah, well, it's a great question. I mean,
and we don't want to answer it.
Yeah, well, yeah, maybe that as well. Not in too much depth and detail, you know. But yeah, see, I mean, you want to look at everything. And like you said, I don't know that I anticipated when we first started kind of really digging into Bemidji, really changing as much as we did. But again, with the way they played, we thought it was really important, to make the adjustments we made for that opponent. And Mankato's different in a lot of ways. But the way they are similar is how good they are in rush. And they get about their rush play a different way than Bemidji does, and their depth and their skill and their deactivation, things like that. So it's definitely a team you don't want to get on the wrong side of pucks. You can't give up odd man rushes because they'll absolutely chew you up. We've based some of our adjustments and what we're looking to do, to their strengths and weaknesses. Again, you want to be who you are. You know, I think you really have to be careful of going in and changing a lot of, what's made us so successful all season long. But at the same time, you also are here to win hockey games and, you know, make the adjustments that you feel like are necessary and prudent to give you the best chance to do that. So, we're going to try to find that balance of doing those and, hopefully, again, find a way to win a game Friday night.
I think it's going to be interesting because I think our players don't mind playing there. It's a great building. It has a good atmosphere. The hotel, the Hilton Garden, is hooked right up to it. You come down to level 3, you can walk right across on the runway right into the facility and head down the stairs and go to the dressing room. And it's exciting there. They like their hockey, and there'll be a great crowd, I think. They had 4,300 and 3,600 last year in the semifinal against Michigan Tech, and they got their students back, and I think they'll have great crowds.
Yeah, logistically it is. It's a good trip. Once you get there, because of the distance and the challenges that way, it can be difficult. But once you're there, as you said, you don't touch the bus again. You don't move around. You're just based right out of that hotel and that short walk. I think guys really enjoy it because they can really be, on their own schedule. Some guys, Colin's one of those guys, that'd be another good question. He gets to the game, insanely early. We'll have to work on him to be a pro. It's hard to do that when you're playing 80 games pro, but right now he's there really early, dressed really early. So each guy has their own routine and kind of superstitions, the way they like to approach preparation. This trip allows the guys to do exactly what they want to do because there's no bus to catch to depart or get back and things like that. So logistically, it's a good trip. It's a great rink. Again, great team, well coached. So it's going to be an unbelievable weekend of playoff hockey.
Yeah, it will. It's going to be exciting. We'll be there. We'll have both games for you. Don't forget, it's an 8 o'clock start. All three games, if three are necessary. It's central time. It starts at 7 there, but it's 8 o'clock here. And there will be an awful lot of flow sport being watched, and we're going to set up some things on that so that fans here in Sault Ste. Marie will have places, options to go see the game.
Yeah, it'd be great to get together and, cheer us on. I've heard the last couple of crowds at some different places have been really strong. And again, guys hear that. Guys know that with social media today, they understand, and appreciate the support we have in this community. And you mentioned some of the wins earlier, and I haven't dealt with it with the team or talked about it, but it's been a long time since we've won as many games as we've won this year. And, it's I guess we'll reflect more once the season's over, but really, really proud of this team and what they've done to come together, to do what they've done. And, our fans deserve it so much. It's an unbelievable hockey community. It's a great school. And, we're excited to be in the middle of this run. And again, I know we'll talk a little bit more about it postseason, but believe me, the players know the support and the passion for this program, and it means an awful lot to them and to our program.
Well, it reminds a lot of us who've been around for a long time of the days in the early 1990s when we had tremendous national success. And hey, we got to win our way there. We got to win this WCHA to get to the NCAA, but we can do it. We could a couple wins here, and then it's a one game winner take all at either Northern Michigan or Bowling Green.
Well, that's one thing we've been good at, just taking it game by game, and that'll be the approach. I think it's been a good prep couple days here leading into it. We've got another couple days, obviously, and I think the guys are getting excited, so you try to kind of tamp them down a little bit and then build up to Friday. But they're ready to play. And again, just really excited for the opportunity.
And they do know the opposition, and that's going to help. Damon, we'll let you get out of here. We'll move Colin Sackelman in the last segment of our show. We'll take a break. We'll be right back with more Laker Hockey Show on ESPN 1400. All right, we are back for our final segment of the Roy Forrest Show here tonight from the Antlers. And I think Roy should have his own show. He used to have his own show back in the old days on TV, but he and Nick Stabile, as I remember, and that was good entertainment right there. We've got Colin Sackelman with us. Colin is a junior from Stillwater, Minnesota.
Thanks for having me, Bill.
This is the first time he's ever been on this show, I think, you know, and he's a great personality. I could get him to get some cards out. We could do some card tricks. He's the magic man. And I'll tell you what, it was never more evident that you are the magic man than late in the game Saturday night when you shot the puck all the way down the ice from our goal line and hit their net, right in the middle of the net, too. Wasn't on either side.
Well, I didn't see where it went. I just saw Diego have a smile on his face and came up, and I was like, oh, sweet.
You know, we struggled in the third period, too, and I didn't ask Damon about this because it's a sore point with him, but we went like 3-16 in the faceoff circle in the third period. But on the three faceoffs we won, we scored on two of them. One was the power play goal by Erickson, and the other was your goal where Diego won that draw and you shot it down the ice.
I say that's good then.
Well, talk to us just for a second about what you're thinking right there. Is that just a reaction? Like, I got it. It's here. It's on my stick. I can hit that net.
You know, it was the weirdest feeling. Like, I remember we were going down for the faceoff, and we were going to run strong. Like, we're supposed to go to Ruggs. It wasn't supposed to go to me. But I just had a weird feeling, like, the puck's coming. It's like, it's going to win. It's going to come right to me. And I looked up, and I saw a clear lane to the net, and I was like, you know what? I'm going for it. High risk, high reward. I was like, here we go. And then puck drops, comes right to me, and I just went for it.
Yeah, Damon said after the game, if that would have missed the net, he would have been with me on the bench for the last 30 seconds or whatever was left.
Yeah, high risk, high reward.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it was a great play. It was a huge goal. And, you know, you played for this team for 3 years now. Great crowds on the weekend, eh?
Yeah.
You got to feed off those great crowds, and I thought it was fantastic.
Oh, when everybody's there supporting, like, we score a goal, and you just hear the energy and the excitement in the room, like, oh, in the rink, sorry. Oh, it's... there's nothing like it. You get going, you get your energy boosts up, and you get on a kill, and kind of like the other team gets momentum. Then you hear the crowd start chanting for the Lakers. You just get going, you're going, and you know, we can do it, and you get pumped up.
Now, you've been with this team long enough to go through a playoff series at Michigan Tech. I think I remember that one. And we've been to Minnesota State before, and haven't had a whole lot of luck there, but we did have luck there this year. We did a great job. That was a really strong defensive game, kind of like Saturday night. Good, strong defensive game. And we beat them 1-0. We're the only team in the country to beat them on their ice this season. And that's saying something right there. And that gives you a little confidence going in this weekend.
No, exactly. Like, we know we got guys that can score. We got Diego, we got Nelly, we got Homer, we got Gels. Like, they can all put the puck in the net. So it's really going to come down to this weekend, just playing good, sound defensively.
Talk a little bit about this team and how it differs from teams that you've been on here in the past. It's a much different, to me at least, it's a much different atmosphere around the locker room. There's a little bit of a culture change in the right direction, and I think this is a really close-knit group. Am I right?
Yeah, a lot of it we have to thank to our seniors. Like, they obviously the last 2 years when I was here, like, and they were here too, like, we didn't have the most successful seasons and stuff, so they wanted things to change. They didn't want to keep going on this path, and so they had a first day, like, when we got back for training camp and stuff, they're like, hey boys, like, here's the way it's going to be, here's how it's going to happen. And the thing is too, everybody bought in. Everybody's like, yeah, we want that too. And guys, just this year, believe, everybody believes in each other, everybody believes in the team and our system, and it's taken us far.
Now, back there on the blue line, we got a pretty good core. You're right in the middle of that. You've got 10 goals right now, 25 points on the season. You're fourth on this team in scoring. And yet you're tied with Edwin Hookinson from Minnesota State in blocked shots in the league, 92 blocked shots. So I'd say we're seeing a pretty complete hockey player here. You're a good defensive player. You're a good offensive player. You kind of like that power play role up in front of the net too, don't you?
Yeah, I remember the first time my coach put me on the power play in front of the net. And
I think we scored the first time, and it just kind of put me there. And I started getting used to being down by the net a little bit more exposure to it. And then it just started taking off from there, and it sounds good.
Now, the big goal, I thought, was at Ferris State, where you got down in front of the net and put one right in the roof on a pretty good goaltender on Roney that night. And that was a tremendous goal. That was a really good play off the wall and a really good finish by you.
I have Gator to thank for that. If you watch the video too, he had two guys on him pulling him down and got me the puck, and I didn't want to let him down after that.
Now, Coach was talking a little bit earlier in the show here that you're one of the guys, and that's one of the things we've changed in recent years. We actually run a couple of different buses on the road when we are away from the rink. Now, Minnesota State, that's a whole different situation. Mm-hmm. But a lot of our guys like to go early, and you're one of them. You like to be there as early as you possibly can. What's the theory on that, and does that go back a long time in your hockey career?
For me, I just like getting to the rink earlier. Just not necessarily like sitting down and preparing too much, but like getting to the rink, taping my stick, going over my gear, making sure everything's good. Just it kind of calms me down, gets me into the mood, starts getting my mind into a game-ready mindset. And then after a little bit, after I get all my gear ready, I do my warm-ups, I do my same routine, and then I get ready to go. But no, I've always gone early and prepared.
Yeah, talk a little bit about playing this year too. Some of the guys, you've been paired with a couple different guys. You play a lot with Steven Ruggiero. But we've got really good defensemen here. I think young Jacob Nordquist has been just outstanding for a freshman to come in. And Alex Amandel, when he's had to play, has done a really good job. And Keibel's been outstanding this year. You play with him a lot.
Yep.
It's a good crew, and you kind of trust each other back there. I think Tyler Anderson's been underrated. He's been really good in the second half.
Yes. But we got a really good in-depth decor. Like guys get hurt or guys are out for a night, another defenseman comes in. We got that. Everybody knows what we're supposed to do in the D zone, thanks to our systems too. Like everybody's on board. Everybody knows what they're supposed to do in their job. And we trust each other in the back end. Every guy can skate. Every guy is big. When we go into the gym, all our decors, our main guys going and lifting and powering away. And so we trust each other.
And we move the puck well. Our defense moves the puck well to the forwards. The only time we ever have any trouble is when the forwards decide they're going to stand on the walls and not move somewhere. And that happens every once in a while. But when they're moving and they give you a target, you guys can hit them pretty well. Yeah,
some stuff is on us too. Like if we try to hold on to the puck a little bit too much. But no, when we get the puck to the forwards, they go, we jump up, we're deadly. We're lethal.
Let's talk a little bit about this magic stuff, how that all got started. We talked earlier this season, we had one of the other guys on. They talked about Colin Sackleman and his magic act, and then Damon got involved and said, I didn't know he could do all this stuff. And where'd that all come from?
Well, it started at Shattuck. They had a magician come to the school, and he blew me away with a bunch of tricks. And I started looking up YouTube videos, like, oh, this is cool. And then as a joke, my billet family at Shattuck got me a magic book. And then I started looking at it and then learning little coins, little tricks, and then it just kind of took off from there.
Maybe you can do some of this stuff for Roy when the show's over. You can show him some of your magic tricks down here. But I'll tell you what, you've had a great season. We're kind of running short on time here, but I wanted to ask you a little bit about Minnesota State and what a challenge that presents and how you guys look at that. It's a challenge you want right now.
Oh, yeah. Guys are fired up. Guys don't want to – like, you go into a game like this, you know what you're going to get. You know it's going to be a battle, and guys are ready. Guys, we watched a movie 2 weeks ago called Meru, and attacking a mountain at the most dangerous spots, and it should excite you. Every guy in the room is excited and believes and wants the challenge to come.
I think it's going to be great hockey this weekend. We'll be there for three games if necessary. We're hoping we can win this thing in two, but Friday night's going to be so important, and I think everybody will be more than ready Friday night.
All right, take it one game at a time, baby steps.
All righty. Colin Sackleman joining us here. We're kind of out of time. I've got a couple other questions here. You got any bumps and bruises right now we're talking about? And you wouldn't talk about them anyway.
So. No, I'm all fresh and healed.
Yeah, well, that's good. And everybody else is. I thought Will Rydell was really good last weekend coming off injury, and good to have him back in the lineup. And it's been a special year, Colin, and
really has.
Wish you luck in the future. Whatever you do, I hope you come back next year because I think you'd have a great senior year. And I can see that C on the jersey too. So thanks to Colin Sackleman for joining us here tonight. Thanks to all the fans. Matt Pockett, I don't know if he's got anything for you post-game or not, but Cade DeSarmo back at the station. Good job there. And Damon Witten, Bill Crawford, so long till next Tuesday night on the Laker Hockey Show.